So with that, we're going to move into our first presentation from Jim Horn. Jim Horn has been with the Office of Water at EPA since 1988. During that time, he's concentrated on educating and assisting public entities, including water and wastewater utilities, on the value of using various approaches and tools to sustainably manage their operations. And some of the major efforts he's worked on includes an agreement between EPA and six national water sector associations to promote effective utility management, working with EPA regions and others to help water and wastewater utilities use a management system approach to improve the energy efficiency, which is based on a resource that he's going to be highlighting in his presentation. He's also helped to develop the Planning for Sustainability Handbook, which is really key for utilities to thinking about their infrastructure planning processes and a roadmap of effective practices for water and wastewater utilities. He has degrees from the University of Texas and Washington in public administration. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jim to start his presentation.
Okay, thank you very much, Emma, and thanks to everybody for joining us today. I'm really pleased to be part of the webinar and pleased to be here with a number of my colleagues, both from the state and my friends from Region 4. So my first slide clearly is kind of gets at the heart of the way we see energy efficiency in the Office of Water, and I think across EPA as well. And that is really, it's a key to sustainability. And when I say sustainability, I mean sustainable operations of water and wastewater utilities in this particular case. Next slide. So the next slide is just some basic facts and figures that a number of you may have seen in the past about the overall significance of energy usage across the water sector, if you will. And in, I've highlighted a couple of points here. 25 to 30% in many cases of total plant O&M costs for treating water and wastewater. But more importantly, I really like to look at that third bullet, which says this is usually, and I say usually, almost always the biggest consumers of energy in communities are water and wastewater utilities. So from a community perspective, that's your biggest opportunity. Current use of energy for wastewater treatment can also result in significant greenhouse gas emissions, and that's clearly an important driver for the Office of Water, why we're sort of interested in this whole topic as well. And what we found, and I think will be confirmed by some of the other speakers today, is that some very basic improvements in energy efficiency can show pretty significant results, equipment changeouts, lighting, pumps, even basic operational changes. So, you know, it's out there. It's low-hanging fruit in many cases. That utilities of many different sizes can take advantage of. And this last bullet just points out that a number of plants are also moving toward what energy self-sufficiency, or what some people call zero net energy. Although I think in many cases a lot of smaller plants may not be able to get to that point, and that's not really absolutely necessary in all cases. It's really more important really to just improve and become more efficient. So the next slide really talks about what I like to call the elements of energy self-sufficiency. And as you can see, we've got bullets here highlighted both in red and blue. The red bullets are what I think are really essential to sort of begin to sustainably manage energy, if you will, toward, if even if you're going toward just basic improvements in efficiency all the way up to energy self-sufficiency or zero net energy. So let me just highlight the bullets in red, and you can see the others on the slide as well. It's really important that you have the proper management motivation to implement energy efficiency. This is something that everybody at a plant or a utility have got to buy in, especially management, because it's a long journey. It's not just a project, and it's got to be looked at and bought into and really made part of or integrated into the utility's overall vision and mission. Staff have got to be empowered. A lot of this I know sounds like mom and apple pie and basic stuff, but we've learned over the years, both here in the Office of Water and working with the regions and others, that these elements in red are really critical. Buy-in from local officials. I can't tell you the number of times we've heard from people, especially in the smaller utilities, saying, you know, we've got a lot of good ideas, but it's going to require some investment, and it's very, very difficult in many cases to get local officials to buy into that. So it's important that people be able to communicate the potential benefits of the types of energy efficiency that we've seen throughout the country. some degree of tolerance for risk. I don't think that's a major factor necessarily, but there's got to be a mindset that this is something that the organization, the plant, whether it's the plant or it's utility wide, have got to buy into and be ready to accept some degree of risk. Audits and energy management plans, and that's really what I'm going to talk about in more detail in a few minutes. The audit is really probably the most important step, in my opinion, that we have found as utilities go through this process. Another important factor, obviously, is to optimize your current processes and educate your operators if they're not properly educated in terms of things they need to do to help improve your overall energy efficiency. And then finally, the last bullet in red is really this notion of a measurable goal linked to your vision and plan. And this is what I would call kind of a sustainable way to implement energy management, not just looking at a particular project this month or this year, but really to make it part and parcel of what the organization does for the long haul. So where to start? Here's some key things that we've learned over the years working with a number of states in our EPA regional offices. Things like create an energy team and assess your current energy consumption. You need to know what you're using now and where you're using it. And there are a number of tools out there, both EPA tools and others, that that have been developed to help you to do that. This notion of creating an energy team is also very important. And the sub-bullets you see there just really kind of amplify this first point of where to get started. Assess your energy savings opportunities. I put in caps there, do an audit. An audit is really critical. I would say get the best audit you can get. And a number of audits, audit services are available through electric companies, through state energy offices, through a number of places. Or in some cases, you may need to pay for it, but it's an investment that will pay off. So I can't emphasize the importance of the energy audit enough. Develop and implement a plan, starting with the low-hanging fruit projects. And I think you'll hear more about what I would call low-hanging fruit from some of our next presenters. There are things out there. This is a controllable cost in many cases, and there are lots of opportunities to start with the low-hanging fruit. Doing that also, there's a psychological dimension to that, because it really helps show the staff that there are opportunities out there to get started and make some progress, and that really, I think, encourages people to go farther and farther. Think about contract specifications for energy efficiency equipment as you go forward, and if you feel like you need to make some significant equipment purchases as part of your overall energy management plan. And then finally, measure progress, get some success under your belt, and keep moving. Again, we encourage people to see this as the long haul, not just something done on a project-by-project basis. So what I'd like to highlight here is a very important guidebook that we developed back in 2008, and I'm pleased to see it's been used by our regional offices, and I think it's been used effectively in a number of states, including Massachusetts. This is what we call our Energy Management Guidebook for Wastewater and Water Utilities. It's really designed to help utilities sort of systematically assess their current energy costs and practices, set measurable performance improvement goals, and monitor and measure progress. All of the things, or several of the things I said on this last slide, are really sort of part and parcel of what this guidebook is supposed to do. And as Emma mentioned a few minutes ago, we really use and believe very strongly in this whole management systems approach to energy management based on this Plan, Do, Check, Act process, which I'll describe in a minute. This is, for those of you that are familiar with environmental management systems, this is really an energy management systems approach, which we are very strong proponents of. And I think it's also consistent with the direction set forward in other EPA programs like Energy Star. So this is nothing new, but it's a process and an approach that works. The Plan, Do, Check, Act approach, again, is nothing magical. Here's sort of a depiction of the four steps in this sort of continual improvement process, and you can see in the middle, this is all about continually improving with a particular focus in this case on energy. So if you look at the planning phase in the red circle there, identify your energy baseline, set priorities, set improvement goals and targets. Implement in the blue section, implement your action plan to achieve these goals. The checking phase, which is really this notion of monitoring and measuring. If something is not working or not performing, some step that you've taken where you're not getting results, find out why it is, and if something can be done to sort of fix the problem so you can continue to make progress. And then and the, finally, the last stage of this, again, continual process is to evaluate. You know, 3 or 4 years from now, or even if we were to say 3 or 4 years earlier than today, probably your views on what you can do to improve your energy efficiency would be significantly different. So this whole acting, which is really might be called an evaluation phase, is really important. You know, figure out what you did, how did it work, what are the opportunities going forward, and make that part of this continual plan, do, check, act cycle. Again, as I said, but this is really sort of a very effective process. It's been used quite effectively in a number of industry sectors. Nothing new, but something that works. The second bullet, I would like to highlight the second bullet on this slide. This process doesn't give you the answer, and that's not what we're trying to do here. It's not, you know, sort of feed a bunch of information and out spits the perfect answer. This takes you through a thinking process. It helps you get to the right answer for your particular utility and allows you to continue to sort of evaluate your opportunities and take advantage of them as they come forward. So, again, I think that's a very important part of this whole process. The next slide really highlights a tool that we've developed here in the Office of Water, recognizing that small and medium-sized utilities are often sort of not only resource-strapped, but particularly strapped for time in terms of the types of steps that they can do, sort of consistent with the process I've been describing. So about 2 or 3 years ago, we developed what we call as an energy use assessment tool. This is basically a web-based tool, again, designed specifically for smaller water and wastewater utilities, free of charge, downloadable tool that can be used for these smaller systems. Basically, it allows you to conduct a full analysis of your utility bills and analyze your current equipment. It drills down to the actual equipment level. It will allow you to print a summary report, which will lay out your current consumption. It graphs your energy use over time, and it highlights potential areas for greater efficiency. So, again, there are a number of tools out there that can help you assess energy use, but for those of you that are in the smaller or medium category, I think this is really something that would be very useful. So we encourage you to take a look at this. Again, it's free and it's downloadable, and the link on our website is at the bottom of this slide. But we did this specifically because we felt there was a particular need to do something that was geared to the smaller and medium-sized utilities, both water and wastewater. Another product or report that we put out is what we call our Energy Conservation Measures at Wastewater Facilities report. Again, the main audience of this is similar to the energy management guidebook I've been describing, utility managers and owners of POTWs and operators. It really lays out particular performance cost and savings and benefits information for particular types of activities, whether they be equipment replacement or operational modifications. And it's based around 9 detailed case studies from utilities all over the country. This really sort of takes it down to the next level of detail and describe some of the actual operational or other steps that these 9 utilities took to become more energy efficient. And again, a lot of these are sort of in the medium-sized category. So this is a nice complement, I would say, to the Energy Management Guidebook. And again, I'll have a website link to all of these things at the end of my presentation. But I encourage you to take a look at this report as well. This slide just basically, I won't describe everything on the next slide, but it talks about the category of energy conservation measures. It also provides you a basic description of what it is. So you can see examples of all of these through the 9 case studies that are contained in the report. So again, take a look at that, a nice complement to what I've been talking about at the beginning here. It's really important, clearly, in the Office of Water and I think in other parts of EPA to work with other partners outside of our agency who are really exhibiting what I would call significant leadership, and the Water Environment Federation is clearly in that category. WEF put out about a year ago what they call their energy roadmap, and I've got a picture of the cover of this. I don't know how many people on the call today are familiar with this, but this is a very nice document that, again, it doesn't entirely parallel our energy management guidebook, but it does take a utility through a series of sort of strategic and operational steps to really help them move toward full energy self-sufficiency. And but recognizing, as I think, as I said earlier, that for a number of utilities, you may not be able to get to full self-sufficiency or zero net. But what's important is that it is for you to make significant progress. So, again, this is just another example of a very nice document or tool, if you will, out there that's been put out by the Water Environment Federation. It's publicly available. You don't have to be a member of WEF to get it. Just go to their website to get a copy. But, again, I'd encourage people to take a look at that as well. So what I'd like to do is just sort of wind up with what I like to call takeaway messages. And I say takeaway messages for communities because I think if you look at the document that the Office of Air and Radiation, EMAS Group, has put out, which I think draws very heavily from our energy management guidebook and some of the work we've done with the regions and states, there are a number of takeaway messages that I think are important that we like to get out there. This is real. Energy efficient utilities are really critical for a community's long-term sustainability. That may be sort of self-evident to a lot of people, but to a lot of other people, I don't think it's self-evident. And I think that's an important message that needs to be communicated to local officials who are often reluctant, as many of us know, to make really difficult decisions that have, you know, serious resource implications. But, you know, greater energy efficiency is something that pays off and really leads to long-term sustainability for the community. It's probably the biggest opportunity in the community to save energy based on what I said earlier, because water and wastewater energy usage is usually such a very high percentage of a community's overall energy usage. So it's a great opportunity. It's also a great way for the community to have a major impact on greenhouse gases and climate change overall. When we've done trainings or worked with our regional offices, we often don't lead with the term climate change. We again focus on energy efficiency because I think people in any community can sort of relate to that. But we all know what the residual benefits are in terms of, you know, GHG reduction and climate change. So by becoming more energy efficient, you are addressing climate change in the community. And this is a good way to do it that has lots of other ancillary benefits. There are a lot of tools out there to help people take on this challenge, not just what EPA has done, and I think we've done great work, but this is not something where there's a dearth of information out there. There are tons of information through EPA, through WEF, through AWWA, through any number of sources. So lots of tools, lots of information to help people take on this challenge. We like to say you should do it systematically, and that's really what the whole Plan, Do, Check, Act process is about. It's the whole basis for the Energy Management Guidebook. I like to say don't just jump on the next neat project. There's always going to be that out there, but go through the process systematically to find out what you need to do now and what you can do now and then what you can do in the future. Make it a continual process and inject it into your planning and into sort of your strategic thinking, both in the community and at the utility. And then finally, and again, I can't emphasize this enough, do an energy audit. I just can't tell you the benefit and the value of getting a good quality audit done. It will open up all kinds of opportunities for you to move forward. It can really become the basis for you to really make some informed choices about what you can do now, what you might be able to do in 3 to 5 years, what you might be able to do longer term. But the audit is really sort of a pivot point in this entire process. And as I said, lots of audit tools out there, lots of organizations that can help with the costs of an audit, but no matter what, get one done and sort of go from there. So I can't emphasize that enough. So again, thanks very much for the opportunity for speaking today. My information is here on this last slide, and all of the materials that I've been talking about are available on our website here, including a lot of other stuff that I didn't cover. So take a few minutes to take a look at the website, and hopefully you'll find information there that can help you. So again, thanks so much for the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. That was a great presentation that highlights a lot of the key process approach to energy efficiency and resources available that we'll certainly hear highlighted again in the case study presentations. I just wanted to mention that I think, unfortunately, some of the bottom of the slides were a little bit cut off in the view. Folks should have received copies of the presentation via email earlier today, and they'll be posted on our website, so you'll be able to see the full web links that were at the bottom of the slide, and also, as Jim mentioned, they are available through the main site that you can see on the screen now. And I'll also say that the guidebook that we just put out, Energy Efficiency for Water and Wastewater Facilities, has detailed synopses of all these tools and resources, so it's a great place to kind of see everything in one document. And we'll also be sending around post-webcast a much shorter Word document with lists of tools and resources available so that folks can kind of have things all in one place and check out all these fantastic resources. So thanks again, Jim. And if anyone has questions on his presentation, please feel free to type those in, and we'll get to them at the end of the webcast. Before we move on to our next presentation, we are going to do another poll question. So Wendy, if you could pull up the poll. So we'd like to see, what is your level of experience with energy efficiency at your water or wastewater facility? So please select any of these things that you've been doing at your facility, and we'll give you a couple of minutes to provide your response. Okay, I think we can go ahead and pull up the results. All right, so it looks like about half of the folks on the line have performed an energy audit, so I'm sure Jim is glad to hear that since he was promoting the energy audit process. About 30% have formed an energy management team. About evenly 38-39% have worked on their audit recommendations and have worked to evaluate the results of energy efficiency improvements, and just a little bit fewer folks have actually gone through the planning process. So I think it sounds like there's a pretty good even distribution of the work that's being done, and hopefully the presentations and the resources we're highlighting will help give you some ideas and strategies about how to expand your energy efficiency program.